Wives of the prophets in Islam. Wives of the prophets in Islam. Wives of the prophets in Islam. Wives of the prophets in Islam.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers of Madani Channel, a new program, a new topic. And the purpose behind bringing these new programs with new topics is to spread the knowledge of Islam, to educate our viewers of Madani Channel with the teachings of Islam. Alhamdulillah, Madani Channel has brought this new program for you, which is entitled as Wives of the Prophets. And as it is obvious from the title of our program, that in this program of ours, we will be discussing about the wives of the Prophet and go through their biographies and what their state of affairs were and what the circumstances were in those times, inshallah, azza wa jal. Today's episode will, inshallah, azza wa jal, be an introductory episode for our topic, Wives of the Prophets and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in general in terms of their marriage. But before we go into the introduction of our program, let's first of all listen to a blessing of sending peace and salutations upon the noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. The final messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam has stated that he who sends salat upon me 50 times a day, I will shake hands with him on the day of judgment. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. So dear viewers of Madani Channel, wives of the Prophets alayhimu salatu wassalam. Anbiya ikram alayhimu salam, they are the chosen bondsmen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are the most superior amongst the creation. And then our master, the Holy Prophet, the final messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, is the superior of all. He is the leader of all the prophets and he is the most superior in the entire creation. And when we talk about the Prophet alayhi salam, they have certain exclusivities, they have certain specialities which the common public, non-prophets, they do not have. And now when we talk about Anbiya Akram alayhi salatu wasalam in terms of their marriages, even in this regard, they have certain specialities which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted them. So in the subject of marriage, in the field of marriage, again Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them of a lot of vastness, and Allah Almighty has allowed them to marry more than what is allowed for normal people, for general people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentions regarding this in the Holy Quran in verse number 38 of Surah Ahzab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
ما كان على النبي من حرج فيما فرض الله له سنة الله في الذين خلوا من قبل وكان أمر الله قدرا مقدورا.
Translation from Kanzul Iman. There is no blame upon the Prophet regarding the matter which Allah has decreed for him, and Allah's tradition is continuing amongst those who passed before, and the command of Allah is fixed destiny. So this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says regarding them in the Holy Quran. And in the commentary of this verse, Mufti Sayyid Muhammad Naimuddin Muradabadi rahimahullah, he states that this verse, it means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given vastness to Anbiya Akram alayhimu salam in the field of marriage. When it comes to marrying, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed them to marry more than normal men. This has been made halal for Anbiya Akram alayhimu salatu wassalam. And he further states that these rulings are specific for Anbiya Akram, for the Honorable Prophet alayhimu salatu wassalam. And it is not permissible for normal people to take this as a base and start acting upon this ruling. that if Anbiya Kiram alayhi wasalam, they married more than one wife or whatever they were allowed to marry, then we are also allowed to marry more than four or whatever is allowed for us. So for normal people, it is absolutely incorrect for them to take this base and start acting upon this ruling, which is specific to Anbiya Kiram alayhi wasalam, to the Honorable Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Marrying, performing a marriage is the sunnah of the Honorable Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And Shaykh Abdul Haq Muhaddith Adelwi rahmatullahi ta'ala, he states that apart from Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam and Sayyidina Yahya alayhi salam, all other prophets, they married, they performed marriage. And furthermore, it should also be clear to us that performing more than one marriages has also been proven from many of the prophets alayhi salatu wasalam. So this also we need to understand. For example, Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam, in the books of Tafasir, in the books of history, we find a mention of two of his wives. One of them was non-believer and the other one was believer. Similarly, when you talk about Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, again in the books of Tafasir and in the books of Seerah, we find a mention of two wives of his, Sayyidatuna Sara rahmatullah alayha and Sayyidatuna Hajra rahmatullahi alayha. These are the two famous wives of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam that we know. But then there's a further narration which states that after the passing of Sayyidatuna Sara rahmatullahi alayha, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he married two women of Arab who were Qantura and Hujur binte Arhir. And from Qantura, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam had six sons, and their names were Madan, Madian, Yaqsan, Zamran, Sabaq, and Suh. And he alayhi salam had five sons from Hujur binte Arhir, and their names were Kesan, Shorakh, Amin, Lautan, and Nafis. So this is regarding Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. Furthermore, Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam, the son of Ibrahim alayhi salam, we again find a mention of two wives of his in the books of history. One of the wives, he divorced her upon the command of his father, and then he married another woman from the tribe of Jurham, and he kept her under his marriage. Then Sayyidina Yaqub alayhi salam, again we find a mention of two wives of his in the books of Tafasir and in the books of history. And when we talk about the final messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, the number of wives that he had, the consensus of ulama is upon 11 wives the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam had. Again, we can see that these are specialities of the Prophet alayhi wa salatu wa sallam. The Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam had 11 wives, whereas this is not allowed for us. We can only have up to 4 wives, and we cannot exceed beyond this number, and we cannot take the base of an action of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam in this regard for us to follow the same, because that was a speciality and exclusivity of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, and the Ummah is not allowed to follow this ruling, which was specific honor to the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam. Now, one thing we need to be mindful of over here is that whenever the Honorable Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, they performed a marriage, whenever they blessed any of the women with the honor of being their wives, then it was not to satisfy any of their carnal desires. There was no element as such when it comes to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. They were free of this element. So there was no such element where they performed those marriages to satisfy their carnal desires. Rather, there were several wisdoms behind it, several religious wisdoms behind it. And when we talk about the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then the most wisdoms which are found behind these marriages is behind the marriages of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. So this is very, very important for us to understand and to instill in our minds that the marriages were based upon religious wisdoms, whichever they performed. There was no element of carnal desires involved in the marriages of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam. Now, carrying further this discussion, we know that the Honorable Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, they are the most distinguished of the people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then anything that gets associated with the chosen servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that also becomes distinguished. For example, in the Holy Quran, in Surah Baqarah, verse number 158, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
إن الصفا والمروة من شعائر الله.
Translation from Kanz al-Iman: undoubtedly, Safa and Marwa, i.e., two hills near the Holy Kaaba, are amongst the signs of Allah. So over here, we come to know that Safa and Marwa, these are two hills, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declared them to be the signs of Allah. Why? Because the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the chosen servant, one of the chosen servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, passed by it, went over it, and those two hills had an association with a chosen servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Sayyidatuna Hajra rahmatullahi alayha. And by the virtue of this, those two hills became the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if this is the case with something that has an association with the chosen servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that it ends up being a sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which has been mentioned in the Holy Quran, and is something that we need to respect now, then imagine those personalities, those individuals who have the honor of being in the company of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, who have the honor of being the wives of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what a close relationship and association they would have with the Honorable Prophet alayhi wa salatu wa sallam. Similarly, the mothers of the Prophet alayhi wa salatu wa sallam, wa rahimahumullah, how honorable they would be, and how important it would be for us to respect them as well. As Safa and Marwa, these two hills, they've been referred to as the signs of Allah Almighty, just because one chosen servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala went upon them, passed by them, went, walked over them. And imagine that those individuals who were honored with being in the marriage of the Honorable Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, how honored and revered they would be. And how important it becomes for us now to honor them, respect them, revere them, and hold them esteemed. However, but one thing we need to understand over here is that all these elevations of ranks, all this honor and esteem that the blessed wives of the Honorable Prophet ﷺ attain, is only if they are amongst the believers, if they have faith, if they embrace faith upon Allah Almighty and the Prophet of the time. Only then are all these excellences. Otherwise, if the wife of the Prophet remains a disbeliever, as was the case with one of the wife of Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam and the wife of Sayyidina Lut alayhi salam, then they cannot escape the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all these honors, all this respect, all these elevations of rank are conditioned with having faith, with being amongst the believers. Otherwise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned a strict warning in the Holy Quran regarding those wives who ended up committing disbelief, who were not amongst the believers, as was the case with the wife of Sidra Nur alayhi salam, Wahila, and the wife of Sidra Lut alayhi salam, Wa'ila. Allah Almighty has mentioned about them in the Holy Quran in verse number 10 of Surah Tahrim, where Allah Almighty states,
ضرب الله مثلا للذين كفروا امرأة نوح وامرأة لوط كانتا تحت عبدين من عبادنا صالحين فخانتاهما فلم يغنيا عنهما من الله شيئا وقيل ادخلا النار مع الداخلين.
Translation from Kanz al-Iman: Allah explains the example of the disbelievers, the wife of Nuh and the wife of Lut. They were bound in marriage to two of our bondsmen deserving of a closeness. Then they, i.e., the wives of these prophets, betrayed them, so they both did not benefit from them, i.e. these two prophets, against the punishment of Allah in the least. And it was stated that both of you women enter hell along with others who enter hell. So this is what was stated in the Holy Quran regarding these two unfortunate women who were the wives of the prophets, but yet they were not amongst the believers. And this is what has been mentioned regarding them and what punishment they will face in the hereafter. So from this verse, we come to know that without iman, without faith, the company, the closeness, proximity of the pious people of Allah would not benefit a person at all. Even if you are close to a prophet, but you do not possess faith, then this would not benefit you at all. And secondly, we also come to know from this verse that on the Day of Judgment, a person will be with those whom they loved in this world. As the warning in this verse, which has been mentioned for the wife of Nuh alayhi salam and Lut alayhi salam, is that both of you women enter hell along with others who enter hell. And this is referring to the people of the nation of Lut alayhi salam and Nuh alayhi salam. And these two women, they were on the side of those people. So we come to know that a person will be on the Day of Judgment, a person will be with those whom they love in this world. In the midst of all this, dear Mr. Madani Channel, one ruling we need to be mindful of, and we need to understand that a wife of a prophet can be a disbeliever, but she cannot be the one who commits indecency, who commits fornication. This ruling we need to understand. Because the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has stated that no wife of any prophet has ever indulged in indecency, in fornication, in adultery. This ruling we need to understand very, very carefully. She can commit disbelief, but she cannot commit indecency. And it is further mentioned in Tafsir Siratul Jinan that since Anbiya Karam alayhi wa sallam, they were sent to disbelievers towards their nation. So it was necessary that whatever those disbelievers they despised, they did not like, so the Prophet والسلام, they were also pure from it. Whatever the disbelievers they despised and they did not like, so Anbiya Karam والسلام, they were also to be pure of it. And of course fornication was something which is hated by the disbelievers. It entailed that the prophet of the time and his wife was free from this very evil as well. Furthermore, dear viewers of Madani Channel, when we talk about the sanctity, the honor of the wife of a prophet, then there's another ruling over here that after the prophet alayhi salatu wasalam has physically departed from this world, then it is impermissible for the wife of the Prophet to marry someone else. As normally what happens is when a husband of a woman passes away, then after the waiting period, after the period of Iddah, the woman can then remarry. But the ruling for the wife of a Prophet is different. Even after the physical departure of the Prophet from this world, the wife, she cannot marry anyone else. And regarding the greatness of the wives of the Prophets, let's listen to a beautiful account. There's a beautiful hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam where he states that when you see a sign, then prostrate, perform sajda. And in the commentary of this hadith, Allama Abdul Rauf Manawi rahimahullah, he stated that the sign over here refers to any such sign which appears upon the revelation or befalling of any hardship or calamity, or upon the removal of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this sign over here, where the Prophet ﷺ said that whenever a sign appears, then prostrate, perform sajda. So this sign is the sign of the mercy of Allah Almighty being removed, or the sign of any calamity or hardship befalling us. So this is what this sign refers to over here. Now the wives of the Prophet ﷺ, they also so esteemed that when they departed from this world, this was also a sign, the same sign which is referred in the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, because this is a great calamity for a wife of a prophet to depart from this world. Why? Because they hold a great rank and great honor, and by the virtue of them, many calamities are alleviated, many blessings are granted, whether it is the knowledge, whether it is the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The wives of the Prophet ﷺ, they hold very esteemed rank in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and their departure is also a means of calamity for the Ummah. And let's see an act of Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhuma in this regard. That Sayyidina Ikrimah radiallahu anhu, he says that once we heard a noise in Madinatul Munawwara, and Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu, He said to me that, "Oh, Ikrimah, go and have a look what this sound is, what this noise is." So Sidra Ikrimah radiallahu anhu, he says that, "I went in that direction and I came to know that the honorable wife of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidatuna Safiya radiallahu anha, has passed away." So he says that when I returned, I found Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma in the state of prostration, in the state of sajda. And at that time, the sun had not risen. So I was a bit amazed at his prostration. So I asked him that, "Subhanallah, you're performing sajda and the sun hasn't even risen yet." So Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he replied that, "Have you not heard the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, that whenever you see sign, then prostrate, perform sajda? And what would be a bigger sign than this? That Ummahatul Mu'mineen radiallahu anhun, the honorable wives of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, they passed away from this world and we are still alive." So this is how Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma acted after Sayyidatuna Safiya radiallahu anha passed away. And he sort of delineated, explained that hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. And at the same point, he clarified for us that what would be a bigger sign for us than Ummahatul Mu'mineen radiallahu anhun departing from this world and us still being alive. So from this action and saying of Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, we also come to know that how great a blessing the wives of the prophets are for us, that their passing has been declared as mercy being alleviated, mercy being removed as a means of hardship befalling amongst the creation. So dear viewers of Madani Channel, in today's episode we've tried to cover an introduction into the wives of the prophets, that how honorable they are, how great they are, how excellent they are, and what was the action, the act of Sahaba Ikram Alayhimur Ridwan when the Ummahatul Mu'mineen radiallahu anhun they departed from this world. Undoubtedly, the wives of the Prophet Alayhimus Salatu Wasalam are a great blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By the virtue of them, many calamities are alleviated and we receive many, many blessings. But the condition is that they should be believers. They should have faith. They should have embraced faith. Otherwise, even the company of a prophet would not benefit them and they would be subject to the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah azza wa jal, in our further episodes, we will now start talking about different wives of different prophets alayhimu salatu wasalam, and inshallah azza wa jal, increase our knowledge. This is all for today. Keep watching Madani Channel and we will see you in our next episode. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Wives of the prophets in Islam, wives of the prophets in Islam, wives of the prophets in Islam, wives of the prophets in Islam.